This message is brought to you by the Capital One Venture X card. Venture X offers the premium benefits you expect, like a $300 annual Capital One travel credit for less than you expect. Elevate your earn with unlimited double miles on every purchase, bringing you one step closer to your next dream destination. Plus, enjoy access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. The Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Tuesday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell for the next 3 hours here on ESPN 97.5. Time to start looking for that left-handed bat.
Yeah, we're buyers again.
Buyers. Did you happen to see? Oh, that's a pretty good baseball team right there. 52-49. All right. National League team, which they're dominating.
Dell's screaming something. What are you screaming, Dell?
They had lost six in a row.
They lost six in a row. That doesn't sound like the makings of a good baseball team.
Oh,
John.
52-49. Okay. Who cares about... Oh, yeah, the Red Sox might be a good team. They've won 14 in a row. Who cares? Big deal anyway. Right?
Mm-hmm.
The Astros are on a roll now. 8-5 winners. Yordan with a couple more bombs. Whatevs. And, oh, maybe Ronel Blanco coming back. 4 2/3, two hits. Just four earned runs, three balls. He had 18 swings and misses.
Mm-hmm.
Todd,
the 32-year-old ace has come. Can we ride? The question becomes: can we ride the Lambert Blanco train all the way to a World Series?
Well, I mean, if Hunter, how good are you if Hunter Brown is your third starter?
Not that good right now.
Really good.
Not
really
that good. Have you seen Hunter Brown?
I've seen Hunter Brown.
He looks like a fifth starter right now.
Well, I know, but he probably will.
I don't know if he makes the playoff. Roster. Here's the thing.
You don't know if he'll make the playoff roster.
No, the playoff rotation, not roster. He'll make the roster. I just don't know if he'll make the
reliever,
rotation.
Like he's going to turn into Lance McCullers?
I mean, you're going to try to get through. You can't get by with three. You have to go with four.
Well, I don't know if you saw Hayden Wesneski's coming back.
Oh, we're getting all the gang back together. Is there any chance...
It's another great signing by Dana this offseason.
Is there any chance that Luis Garcia comes back?
Luis Garcia, he was DFA'd by.
So we DFA everybody. Big deal. Bring him back.
We can't bring him
everyone
back.
Everyone gets DFA'd here.
We're not, no.
Well, he went to Dana.
They don't get DFA'd.
It's only if you're a Dana signing. That's my bad. No. Or if Dana brought you in, you only get DFA'd.
Well, Dana brought Wesneski in, and guess what?
He
boom.
Hasn't been DFA'd. Not yet.
Wow.
The only thing I'm really, this is, it's nice. That's good. That's cute. You got to win. That's cute. But I'm just keeping an eye on Yordan. I just want a triple crown winner. That's just what I'm watching. I mean, unless they can somehow find a way to move Lambert for Skubal and give Skubal a new $340 million deal, which I don't see happening. I'm not really sure the Astros really have that. I'm not sure they're buyers, but maybe they are buyers. They need that left-hand bat. And damn it, Dana, before he gets fired, is going to get a left-hand bat. He'll be damned if he ends his reign without a left-hand bat.
You should let him do all that, but okay. I'm not sure about that.
I know. Jim Crane needs to just say, hey, let's just let it ride. Yeah. No, Jim, I've been making a lot of calls. I think I may have a left-hand bat. You know what? Let's just see if Fielder really pops down there in A-ball. Let's see if he can make that quick run. He's a left-hand bat.
So if Yordan continues this, is...
Yordan right now has an 11-point. He's got a massive lead in batting average now, too.
Yeah.
Now, that can obviously change, but...
Yeah, that goes up and down. That's not a, you know... He's streaky, too.
But the he's later the season too. Gets,
well,
I mean...
I'm getting to, though, is... He's got a chance because Jeff Bagwell in 94 only played in 110 games. Of course, it was a strike-shortened season, you'll remember.
Oh, wait. I had him over Diaz. He's He's still behind. He's still behind.
Yeah. Jeff Bagwell hit 368 that year, a 1201 OPS.
In 94?
In 94.
It's one of Bill James's. It's one of Bill James's best seasons of all time.
All time. Mm-hmm. He had 116 RBIs in 110 games.
But Jeff Bagwell was, it's the best season I've ever seen an Astro have. Now, he got hit in the hand with the. His season would have been over anyway if the strike hadn't taken him out.
Right. It happened right before the strike hit.
Yeah, same day, I think. Day before, same day.
It was
Montreal, right?
I forget where he got his hand hit, but
I think it was Montreal.
It is, how about that? 400 at bats, 104 runs, 147 hits, 116 RBIs in 110 games.
Did you say 104 runs?
He had 104 runs. Did you see the stat yesterday? Who had the most runs in a season in Astros history?
No.
Okay. Can you guess?
It has to be Biggio, right?
I thought it was Biggio too. In 159 games, Jeff Bagwell had 152 runs.
I mean, he didn't have, what year was that?
In 152 in 2000, the new park.
That was a terrible year.
That
for were the
awful,
and it's not like I had to go back and look, but I don't remember a bunch of killers behind him knocking him in.
Yeah,
how does he do that? I mean, we joke about he's this elite base runner, but he was a really great base runner. Yeah. But I mean, that's one of these stats that I've never really. I always look at it and I just think, how does that correlate to an individual when you have, but I mean, clearly it must, but I always think, well, you're just so dependent on people knocking you in. You can't score a run unless somebody bats the ball. I mean, you know, for the most part, somebody has to bat the ball. So you're dependent.
Not if you're Jordan.
Jordan's only scored 67 runs, but and that's one of the reasons why it's people behind him don't hit. That's my point. But Jeff Bagwell didn't have a bunch of killers behind
him. No.
So how does Jeff Bagwell score that many runs?
Well, let's not forget, he did have Berkman behind him.
Well, yeah, you know what? You're right. That was the year the pitching fell apart and Lima's career ended, basically.
I mean, and it was a hitter's park that year.
Oh,
my God. And they just got destroyed.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, Lance Berkman was a good young player then. That's true. They probably had a little bit more.
They had Moises Alou. They had
was
Berkman.
Alou there still? Was Sean Berry there?
I don't know.
Kent wasn't there at that time.
Morgan Ensberg came up.
I don't know if it was there at that time.
I think it was afterwards. He had some hitters behind. I mean, at first it was Derek Bell. Derek Bell batted second. In the late 90s, and then Bagwell.
Golly, led the league at 152 runs. Richard Hidalgo had 118, so Doggy would have been behind him.
Yep.
Hidalgo would have been behind him. Tim Bogar, big RBI guy.
Well, Tim Bogar batted last, batted eighth.
Would have been behind him.
Yeah, would have been behind him, eighth.
There's Lance Berkman.
But this can't piss me off more. This cannot piss me off more.
What?
His career, Bagwell, Hall of Famer, no doubt about it. 948 OPS.
Yeah, that's going to piss you off.
And Berkman had a 943 and didn't make it out of the first round.
Yeah, that's
of Hall of Fame voting.
You can't keep bringing it up because you just drive yourself crazy.
It just
crazy.
Makes me nuts.
You're just going to drive yourself crazy. And it really
just
makes me
nuts.
Stuff that had nothing to do with baseball affected Lance Berkman.
Yes,
it's politics. Not good. I don't care what your politics are. Leave Lance Berkman's career as Lance Berkman's career. I mean, he should have made it deeper than that. That's just, as a baseball player, it's absolutely ridiculous. And he had a title. He had clutch hitting. Like, he had everything you look for.
Yep. I mean, everything.
A cool nickname.
Did you see what Ferran Torres was wearing at the parade yesterday?
No, I didn't see any of Spain's parade.
Yeah. He was wearing a Make Spain Great Again.
No, I didn't see
red
that.
Red hat, yeah.
I didn't see that, but, you know, Spain wants Americans and everyone else out. Do you know that?
Spain
they shot people,
what?
Americans. They want tourists out, Americans out. They want everyone out. They shoot people. There are people who go up and shoot tourists with water guns in the face. They don't want tourists there anymore. They say there's too many Americans, too many tourists. So that's probably what some of that is there's a big movement. It started, I think it was last year, last summer. They want, because there's a lot of expats there. And they want Americans out, and they want tourists. They think it's over too many tourists. So they want to. They started. There are people in I think it was Madrid that were running up and shooting people in the face with water guns, shooting tourists in the face, people they decided were tourists.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's actually not a huge surprise.
No.
Spanish have been a little salty lately.
So the Astros win, back in the hunt, going to get there. Now we just got to count on Dana to go get that left-handed bat, and things are going to be great. You got Renault Blanco back. You got Wisniewski coming back. I mean, this rotation is starting to look – I mean, well, actually, the rotation wasn't bad at all this weekend. It was the offense that didn't do anything. So they scored two runs a game. Nice job. But this is where it all starts. Six games under 500. Now let's go. Let's go.
Let me ask you a question. I'm just looking at his baseball reference. Before we go any further, what were Jeff Bagwell's nicknames? I'm just making sure that this is right.
Jeff Bagwell.
They've got two nicknames for him.
They got two nicknames
for him. Well, you know, Baseball Reference and Football Reference, Basketball Reference.
Baggy was one.
Baggy was definitely one.
Yeah.
And that era of baseball, you just threw a Y at the end of the name, and it was their
Bogey, Baggy, Abishi,
Doggy. Remember Hidalgo was Doggy?
Yeah, well, that was Milo just doing that.
Yeah, Milo did that.
He never called Puma the Big Puma.
No, that was our deal. He wouldn't have done that. Now, Biz, they do have Biz, just Craig Biggio's. But did they call him Bagpipes? Was that a thing?
No,
that's on here.
Bagpipes.
That's on here.
Yeah,
well, you sure teammates didn't call him that? One of his nicknames is Bagpipes.
I never heard. I was in that locker room every day. I never heard Bagpipes.
Mm-hmm. That's in there.
Never. Nope.
I'm gonna check Richard Hidalgo, see if they just make some
Doggy
nickname. Right? That was the only thing. Yeah, that's all it is. Doggy is what they got here. Yeah.
Hidalgo. They got Doggy out of it. Okay. And then the huge story yesterday during the afternoon was ESPN fired Ryan Clark.
Mm-hmm.
And it was during the show.
Well, that one feels – this one is strange. So there's a bunch of layoffs. I talked to my agent yesterday and who told me, that caught him –
a bunch of people today. This morning, a bunch of people are going down.
Oh, has it already happened?
No, it's happening this morning.
Right. So he's just part of the layoff. So was he fired or not? Well, what makes it weird is that he was let go during a segment. Well, not during a segment, but during a show.
Well, because they got a call from The Athletic that asked about him getting fired, about him getting laid off.
They're probably worried he might say something.
Tell him now before he reads it.
Yeah, because, that's why. Okay. Yeah. So he may not have gotten fired. This may be part of the layoffs then.
Well, it's what do you mean? If you get laid off, fired
is different. Fired is with cause. Laid off is you're going to get all your contract.
Well, yeah, he's going to get all his
contract. Yeah. So he'll get, they may, but I didn't know if there's call. I mean, I don't know if this is first segment topic, but it is interesting to me personally
Let's go over some of the things that Ryan Clark has said.
Mm-hmm.
Shedeur Sanders fell in the draft because of racism.
Did he say that?
He did say that.
It wouldn't shock me. There were people saying crazy
black
stuff.
Coaches won't get hired because former Michigan head coach Sharon Moore committed adultery.
That was really well and had the whole thing.
Jaden Ivey spews hateful and evil. Remember, Jaden Ivey was not pleased with gay people. He spews hateful and evil Christianity because he's against gay marriage and pride nights. Tom Brady isn't a generational talent.
Neither was Peyton Manning or Drew Brees. Right.
Yeah. America's history of slavery played a part in zero black head coaches getting hired this NFL offseason. RG3 can't talk about Angel Reese because his wife is white.
Yeah, he did say that. He apologized for that one, didn't he? He did have several apologies he made.
He dismissed Mahomes and Hurts Super Bowls because they're not authentically black like Lamar Jackson. Promoted the idea that millions of Caitlin Clark fans that followed her to the NBA WNBA were racist.
Mm.
Tried shaming Louisiana Governor Jeff Landry for suggesting that LSU erect a statue of Charlie Kirk. Had to apologize after unprofessionally trying to discredit Peter Schrager because he never played in the NFL. We don't remember that one. Had to apologize on air for sharing false info regarding a fatal accident caused by former LSU wide receiver Kyron Lacy.
mm-hmm. calling him innocent. This is quite a list of
some of it. Personal opinion on a sports talk show, whether you like it or not, the quarterback thing.
It seems
you say whatever you want. I mean, racially, that was his opinion.
It seems that there's a lot of racial, not even innuendo, but it seems like it's pretty one-sided racially.
He said some things I didn't care for. Most of those he had to walk back with apologies. The Schrager thing was, that was a teammate, bad. You know, and Schrager had just gotten there, too. That's a teammate, and you laid him out, and you apologized for that. You apologized for how you went to after RG3. When you're having to make four different apologies for things you said on the air because you didn't think them through, that's not great. There were some times I liked some of his commentary. There was some of the stuff that he said that I'm like, whether I've seen it on the Pivot or on ESPN, where I liked it. But he was very inconsistent. He was just really inconsistent in some of the stuff, in some of the comments he had, and some of the, you know, I always knew he's a Mulgeta client, so you couldn't get a straight shot with anything having to do with Deshaun Watson, anything having to do with CJ, anything having to do with any Mulgeta clients. Because he's also, David Mulgeta represents him as well. And,
that's a conflict of interest.
It's not the first time there's been a conflict of interest. You've had conflicts of interest. I've had conflict. Yeah. It happens in different ways. When you are one of the headliners on a network, ESPN, and you got to just talk ball, and they have you on a ton of shows like they did with him. He was one of the featured guys for multiple shows. That becomes a little trickier. And I didn't like there was something that really rubbed me the wrong way he did one time where Deshaun Watson, when he was tweeting cryptic lyrics, when he was first starting to do his thing with Houston, where he was going to try to get his way out, and he was, and Ryan Clark was like laughing. He goes, "I love this. This is great. This is hilarious. Deshaun's letting him know, blah, blah, blah." And he, you know, he went on how it was the funniest thing and how he loved this. This is the way that players can communicate now and you have a voice. And then Baker Mayfield did something that was, he said something on Instagram, and Ryan Clark, this was probably 2 years later, it may have been a year later, because the Deshaun stuff was in 20. I think Baker's was 21. Stern face, and he was very disappointed that this is not what leadership looks like. Quarterbacks cannot be putting stuff on social media, you know, where they're trying to be cryptic and this and that. And I'm like, what? You cannot be serious. I just watched you say this was great with Deshaun Watson, who is a Mulgeta client.
Right.
And then, you know, some people are going to say black quarterback, white quarterback. I also think it's Mulgeta client, non-Mulgeta client in terms of Baker Mayfield. Like, that's the inconsistency that some of us actually remember. You said this about Deshaun, but then all of a sudden stern face, and this is just not, we just can't do this with Baker. But he's got his own thing. The Pivot, it does pretty well with Channing Crowder and Fred. I do wonder if Ryan Clark, you know, if the juice became not worth the squeeze for ESPN, but also layoffs just happen over there. I mean, they're constantly having to shave off money.
Yeah, well, and there's a lot of stuff. We got a break. By the way, Yordan is leading the league in hitting.
You know what? I was looking at probably all of baseball.
You were looking at baseball. Otto Lopez leads all of baseball.
Yeah. He leads in American League. Yeah.
In homers, in home runs, RBIs, and average.
So he is currently, I want a major league. I want an MLB triple crown.
You want him to lead the whole world and everything.
I want an MLB triple crown.
So he's one off the lead in RBIs in major league. He's tied for the major league lead in home runs, and he's 11 points behind Otto Lopez.
But, I mean, let's face it. Is Otto Lopez, I mean, is a shortstop really going to lead the league in hitting?
Yeah. Well,
not in any world I live in.
Not in this world, probably. I don't know. I mean, Otto Lopez is a pretty good hitter. And we've got him.
I'm going to pray on his downfall.
Well, last night, Yordan put him in his place.
Yeah.
You lead that league? Well, take some of this with you.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we got a break. 713-780-3776. If you want to get in with us here on ESPN 97.5, I want to talk about IBEW. I want to talk about you and your future and your career. Do you have a career? because if you don't have a career, if you don't know where you're going, if you're in a dead-end job, if you're just lost right now, do you have your college degree and you can't do anything with it? That's okay. It's okay. How about something cool? Working on the electric grid, okay? The International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, Local 66 in Houston, operates our electrical grid. They maintain, they build it. All right. It's kind of a big deal. It is huge. It's a huge job. They got 4,800 members. They've been doing this for 125 years. The IBEW Local 66 is opening the door for you. You want to build the community built on craftsmanship, safety, and pride. And how about some really great wages? All right. Some retirement planning, health insurance, all of these things that you need in your life. All right. That you, if you're going down blindly, just working and just going, I don't know what I want to do, give them a call at IBEW 66. IBEW66.com. IBEW66.com. Powering careers, powering the future. IBEW66.com.
Houston's independent voice for sports. ESPN 97.5. It's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Welcome back this right here, this offseason. 713-780-3776 is the number if you'd like to get in here. 713-780-3776. It's apparently, even the Chronicle is saying this, that Jabari Smith grew 2 inches this offseason.
We'll see.
Apparently, how's that possible? Rafael Stone says he's 7'1 now.
How's this possible?
I don't know.
We have a, you skip groin spurts for 2 or 3 years and then you have one?
I don't know. I'm reading the article. Dell put this in the rundown. I don't know if you saw it. You didn't see it because it's in the rundown.
I call it the rub down.
Well, it's not a
rub down. Why would you call it that?
Why would you?
I just see it. I think you wrote rub
down. He's a big Robert Kraft guy.
No. Okay. No, I'm not. But if Mr. Kraft wants to hire me, shout out Mr. Kraft.
Mr. Kraft.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Kraft. Why don't
see
you
see how
just,
I'm doing it?
Okay. All right. Well, you follow basically New England South. So, Jabari, this starting five with Adam Smart, Shepard, and Tari coming off the bench. And then Bruce Thornton, I don't know where he fits in. We'll see where he fits in. If he fits in at all as a rookie. I know Emay's not a big rookie guy, but maybe Bruce Thornton will play well enough to actually get some minutes. I don't know who he takes him away from. Maybe Reed. We'll see. If Reed doesn't, Reed's got to be better. Reed has got to be better. He was, you know, he was fantastic at times. Won you a couple, 3 or 4 games this year. But he's got to be a sharpshooter that you know all the time he's going to come through, which he wasn't last year, and especially in the playoffs he was awful. So I don't know. The question by this is, why can't the Rockets win the title with that lineup? Well, here's a couple of things. Is Fred really coming back? Is he going to be that guy again? Is Steven Adams going to stay healthy this year? Because there was a definite line of demarcation. When Steven Adams went down, it was a different team.
Mm-hmm.
It was a totally different team.
Yeah, there were second chances that were missed. Look, if you're not a good shooting team, you need second chances. And Steven Adams provided second chances. He took away second chances for other teams. I mean, his rebounding was that elite per minute.
He's great.
Yeah, and then there was a toughness, and there was just a lot. Now, you know, we can't just lean on that as the crutch, but they clearly – and that's clearly just what happened. Should it have happened like that? No. It should be next man up. Everyone tells us next man up in every sport. But there's just no getting around the fact that, you know, there's no getting around the fact that there was a definitive drop-off after Steven Adams mm-hmm. left. It's mm-hmm. just no getting around it.
No. Yeah, and so I don't know. Are they as talented as, no, as Oklahoma City?
No.
No. They're just not. You know, they're behind. There's no question.
The top three are better than the Rockets' top three. Well, it's not even that. You just go seven. It actually gets worse if you go seven deep, eight deep. If you go eight deep, there's a big advantage. There's a big gap between Oklahoma City and San Antonio.
Too.
And San Antonio happens to have a number one that's just super dynamic, you know, and only getting better. And yep. Steph Castle. Is
well, and that's
really
the thing,
player.
Too. Is Alpe going to get better?
Well, he hasn't gotten better the last 2 years.
No.
He looks like he's peaked and leveled off. Now, Dream looked like that, too. Dream was an explosive, incredible athlete. And later in his career, Dream, like, went to Mecca and calmed himself down. But then also, before that even happened, he was adding elements to his game. And you know when he started? He started after he got pissed off when he almost got traded. He got pissed off at Charlie Thomas and Steve Patterson, and he started adding elements to his game literally after that, where he became more skilled. He became more skilled in his 30s than he ever was in his 20s. He became a different player. He added the jump hook with it was a right-hand jump hook. I don't think he shot a left-hand jump hook. So he added the jump hook. Then he added baseline fadeaway. The dream shake, which was basically him just, you know, going to either one of those shots or just a series of fakes. Dream added to his game after he got in a fight with Rocket Management, and then they were going to trade him to Miami for Glenn Rice and Ronnie Cicely and one other player, and then it broke down, that fell apart, and then Dream came back with like a jump hook that offseason and then started adding things every offseason. Maybe, but he was also an elite athlete. Alpe's not explosive vertically. When he stops and starts pump faking, he is cooked. He's cooked because he can't elevate vertically and get his shot up over guys. When he's playing in flow, he's really good. When he's playing off the dribble with spin move, go straight up, he can be good. Have you seen an Alperen Şengün that looks better, that looks like he's improved anything other than maybe a little bit better three-point shooter? And he's a good passer. He's always been a good passer.
But you didn't want at the end of the year. He was great to start the year at three-point shooting, and then at the end of the year, you just don't do it.
I don't see a player who is adding elements to his games that are noticeable.
And about Amen and Alpe both have to. Amen especially has to add some outside game. Alpe, I don't know that I want him shooting outside at all.
Alperen?
Yeah. I mean, but Amen for sure needs to improve his three-point shooting. Mm-hmm. Do you need Alpe shooting threes?
I think it's better for him if he becomes a good three-point shooter.
Yeah, last year we saw videos of him working on it. Beginning of the season it was good, and then it's just like don't do it anymore.
What did he shoot last year? I'm off the top of my head, I don't know. I'm going to look it up right now, but what did he shoot last year from 3?
I don't know. We can
30.5%. For me, Alperen Şengün, you want him at a high 33s into the 34 range.
Yep.
So that's not 30 is not going to be enough. His effective field goal percentage his effective field goal percentage was 537. That's actually lower than year 2 and year 3. Year 4 and year 5, his shooting efficiency has gone down. His free throw percentage has gone down from earlier in his career. He's now, I mean, 3 straight years of being a 69% three throw shooter. You know, he would be so much better if he could become a 79% free throw shooter and a 34% three-point shooter. His game would, just think about that. That's going to be, you know, those are massive jumps. That's 1 point in free throw, you know, that's one more free throw a game. And that's probably, I mean, he takes what? Well, he only takes about 1.8 three-pointers per game. So,
well, look at his months, okay? In November, he shot 57% from 3.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then the next month, 32. Okay, November ended up 32. October was 57. It was only 4 games. 32. Then they do group play, whatever. And then in December, he shot 6.7% from 3. 6.7.
That's not great.
Then 23.5. Then 25.
Yeah, it just went away.
In March, he shot 37.5. But then 27.3. And the postseason, 12.5.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's too crazy. 6.7
Stop shooting.
You know, he's played in 13 playoff games. His effective field goal percentage, which combines the three and the twos, is 46% over those two series. Man, that's terrible.
That's terrible.
For a big. It's really terrible.
You need 60. You want 60%.
His free throw percentages have been 62.5 and 69%. I mean, it's just not, you know, he just hasn't stepped up. Now, his career is not over. He's five games in. I've seen many Rockets, many NBA players get much better. I'm just really question, like, where can he get better? Where can he get better? I think he's got a chance to have a good back to the basket game, but he can't pump fake. Because once he pump fakes, he's dead because he can't rise up over people. But he does, I mean, he can get people on his hip and do some really nice things. But all the face up stuff that he has to do, he might be better off with some old school post ups against certain players. Just get him around the basket where he's got some, you know, tricky little moves. Maybe that a little bit. I'm just trying to figure it out without, because he's going to always be pretty good, but they need better than pretty good.
Yep.
They got to have better than pretty good.
Yeah. Not when you're playing Oklahoma City and San Antonio.
Yeah. If you started this segment off like, what can the Rockets do to win a championship? It starts with Alperen Şengün being a legitimate all star, which he was too, but he's got to be like, man, this guy is a dude.
Yep. All right. We got a break. We can hear from Heather Dinich, who is a veteran of this show.
Mom.
She's mom. She's college
football's mom.
That's right. She is college football's mom. And she had this to say about the SEC next, right here on ESPN 97.5. What does that look like? Like, the SEC is off on its own? And if I'm left behind, any of these schools, Big Ten, Big 12, everybody, anybody, I'm not playing the SEC.
SEC!
You're breaking away. You want to be different. Then go ahead. Be different. Just play yourself.
I think play with yourself.
I said play yourself. Don't play
with yourself. But they're just playing with themselves, all right?
Who added the with?
Del, technically, are they not just playing with themselves?
I don't want to get involved in your nonsense.
Who are you playing with?
Playing against
the other teams you're playing with
in your conference.
Other playing other teams.
We all knew what he meant.
I didn't say with. I said playing yourself.
I think they're just not mentioning the Big Ten. Big Ten would be part of it. They're not speaking for another conference. They'll take the hit. This is inevitable.
Would college football be, if it was just the SEC and Big Ten, is that a college football champion?
The greed of college football knows no bounds. And they're willing to uproot over 100 years of history to get the most money they possibly can.
Would you take the Big 12 with you?
No.
Not the entirety.
No,
they will pick and choose
this
teams
kind of
from the rest
kind
of the conferences.
Power move? Yeah, this yeah, kind but, of power move like this.
Well, good luck, because you're going to have a real fight if you try to break away.
You are
from
headed
Big 12.
For right now, and this is not a joke, and I am not, and I want you to dispel this if you'd like. Think about this. This model has been trending towards the Premier League model of soccer over the last 4 years. Transfer portals. It's the same thing as transfer fees. Teams going from players going from team to team. You have the upper dollar teams are beginning to really have a gap between the lower teams. Texas Tech got a new owner. They got some new Saudi oil money. So they got a new owner who's willing to spend. And Cody Campbell. That's what it looks like in the Premier League when you get some kind of Saudi oil money. So now your team's going to spend. You have the makings of relegation coming where you can get kicked out of this tier one league and into
there's no indication that's going to happen.
No, I'm just saying this is what it's lining up for, because you know what, you actually do have now a league that would be below it
forever. It's not like you're going to move up. Their teams are going to move up and down.
Well, why not?
Well, because they're not.
But the only thing that makes
it be part of it. There's no indication that relegation is going to happen.
But you could have that if you wanted.
Well, you could, but it won't happen.
You could. Logistically, it'd be tougher because schedules get set in advance. But what you're setting up right now looks a lot like international soccer. The player movement, the salaries out of control, coaches getting fired left and right very quickly. Actually, they're getting these long, long contracts that you have to pay out, which is not what soccer does. But a lot of what they do is basically just, you're the championship now. You guys are lower leagues than us. You're they consider themselves a completely different league, and there's multiple league structure in English football, and this is what college football is turning into. Because next you have Big 12, and then after Big 12, you know, in the ACC, then you have maybe the MAC, right? The MAC would be in a list below that, and then below that's going to be the FCS. You now have very distinct tiers developing. And the problem you have is that the TV money doesn't want the low tiers. The TV money is not going to be the same for the low tiers. So the low tiers will never have a chance unless you get a new owner. At Akron, you'll never be able to compete unless you have new ownership come in.
Well, either you're one of the haves or you're one of the have-nots.
That's all it is. And this is where individual, John, this is where we're going to see private equity start to come in and take over universities, athletic programs.
You know, there will still be a place, although it won't be, you know, here's the thing, is this is a good time for Willie Fritz to be really good. Because what have you done for me lately? If the University of Houston is really good, they might they might come along. They're a borderline team. Whether or not they would bring them along, it would be awfully important to the University of Houston to really show up this year. Because these things are, you're on the precipice of finding out of who's a have and who's a have not. So winning this year, being a significant,
I think your ticket sales have got to be up.
They got to improve. You still only got a 40,000.
Houston would have no chance to meet, no matter what the wins look like. Houston has no chance unless your ticket sales go up. That's just the reality of it all. How big's your stadium? How many tickets do you sell?
And how many eyes do you bring to the table? Yeah. I mean, they'll just say,
yeah, what are your
TV
numbers?
They'll say SMU, TCU's probably brought along because, I don't know, probably. But SMU and Houston, we've got eyes from A&M in Texas. We don't need you.
SMU has big money behind it, though. Big money. Yeah. So, and I've been told that by people who work in the NIL who told me, do not sleep on SMU. They pay big. So I don't know what because SMU has the same issues. They don't fill up their stadium.
No.
I don't think they get a lot of eyes. So you're right. I mean, the only difference is they've been in the playoffs. And Houston hasn't been in the college football playoffs.
Well, that's why it's important.
It just sucks,
really,
though. I mean, it
really
sucks that you can't have – you had greatness and pageantry, and you won national championships. But now, literally, the only thing you worry about is what is the maximum most amount of money. And I think one of the reasons is because they never set up their guidelines. They let themselves get out of control with coaching salaries. They never had their guidelines in place and let NIL get out of control. They've had no guidelines, and so now you got. I don't want to say that on the air. I know some schools who people think are wealthy who are not wealthy in their athletic departments, and they have to have every bit of money coming in. Squeeze, and so these teams are going to want to. I mean, they need to find revenue at every single turn.
Just imagine the breakaway, whether it's the SEC, the Big Ten, or others, and then. We will get a Champions League because there will be money to be had in a playoff where, you know, the teams who never play each other, we're going to stick the best one of them, all of them in the playoff, and we'll have it out. Yep. So you'll have – the SEC will have what they want, apparently. They'll break away, but they'll also be able, because of the SEC, to insert four of their best teams into a playoff and the money that will generate, the interest that'll generate.
Just like international soccer.
Yeah, it'll just be like Champions League.
Yeah. It's lining up like international soccer. I mean, from the transfers to the money going crazy, to the breakaway.
I think in large part this is because of how hapless and how insignificant the NCAA is that they can't enforce their own rules. This is all happening. You know, the transfer portal may actually have some rules to it. There may be some penalties for tampering. There may be, you know, actually, you may actually have some way to control this out of control train that's happening right now. So that's why that's a big reason that they really, I mean, if they break away, they might have a place where you can actually have rules.
How
can actually obey rules?
How can they control what another conference will allow a player to do?
No, within their own.
Well, if a player wants to leave the SEC and go play in the Big 12, what's to stop them?
Nothing.
Nothing.
So they can control within the
okay, go ahead and play in a lesser league. I mean,
well,
that can happen.
The money is the money. If Cody Campbell wants to pay me $5 million per year, I don't care about lesser league.
Well, they Texas just want to Tech probably comes money. Along.
They, well, yeah, but the problem with that is that what if Cody Campbell stops giving money to Tech? Then all of a sudden you're like, whoa, you're grandfathered in? You're Vanderbilt? Now you're beholden. That's why you've got to build in some movement where you can get rid of people, too. This is just such a stupid thing. This is such a dumb move that doesn't need to happen. I figured we'd see a super league of 40 to 50 teams. That was a given. This single-handed breakaway, and Greg Sankey talked about the fact that they are actually beginning to back the new college football, you know, what Congress is putting forth, they think is it takes care of the players, and then it puts some guidelines up. And so unless everybody adopts that, I think you're going to have a breakaway. And, I get it to an extent. You want some rules in the SEC. SEC wants some rules set up. Georgia's real sick of a lot of the stuff going on, for example. I know that for a fact.
Like she said, they need the government to actually commit to this and have an antitrust and actually, you know, and have a league that is federally regulated. So this is something that it's crazy. You have to have government intervention here. That is, I mean, it's so stupid.
Tony,
it's so
our Iowa,
because you are so toothless as a league, as a governing body, you have to have government intervention.
Well, it's a combination of greed. It's just been on the move. It's pigs get fat, hogs get slaughtered. Only these pigs are just going to keep getting fat. They're just going to be hogs and not get slaughtered. The SEC, but it's funny because you have all of this. You have all this stuff going on, but it's also a combination of, you know, no one has since 2000, 2001, 2002. Institutions are tired of having no rules. Mm-hmm. They're just tired of having no rules, whether you like it or not. What's going to happen is everyone cheers for this. Yay, I want no rules. I want the players to do everything. What's going to happen is you're going to have the SEC just break off. And there's going to be the ancillary and unintended consequences are some schools are really going to be hurt. Some athletic programs are really, really going to be hurt because that same money is not going to come in. Your TV money is not going to be the same. I promise you. SEC TV money, Big Ten TV money, they're going to start getting the biggest. How many contracts do you think they're going to have? How many networks do you think there are that broadcast college football?
All right, we got a break. 713-780-3776 is the number if you want to get in here. 713-780-3776. How about where you're going to watch it? At Taquerias. That's where you're going to watch it.
Taquerias Arandas is where you can watch anything. You watch your baseball games there. You can watch your if you say, man, I'm really into soccer after the World Cup, good. They're going to have La Liga on. You can get Premier League matches at your Taquerias Arandas because they're open in the morning for breakfast. So those matches will start at 9, 10 in the morning, 11 in the morning. Then you watch some college football there. They want to make sure they're playing whatever games that you want to watch at the Taquerias Arandas. And as I mentioned, they open early in the morning. So you got breakfast, you got lunch, you got dinner. They're open all the time. Not 24 hours, but they're open most of the time. And you can get your hands on some delicious, authentic Mexican food. Those taquitos are outstanding. Taquitos are little tacos, all right? They're not rolled up and deep fried. We're talking about little tacos. They got the tacos. They got the taquitos. They've got huevos divorciados if you're looking for a very hearty breakfast in the morning. Maybe you just want to get your hands on a nice sandwich at lunch. Have you ever had a torta with carne asada? Oh, it's phenomenal. Get your hands on great food at really reasonable prices. That's the thing with Taquerias Arandas. A lot of these other places have just gone sky high with prices, really pricing you out of going more than once every couple of weeks. Not Taquerias Arandas. They want you to come in all the time, and their prices speak to that. TaquerIasArandas.com. Go to the website and find one of 20 locations here in the Houston area. TaquerIasArandas.com.
ESPN 97.5.
Brought to you by the Capital One Saver Card. With Saver, you earn unlimited 3% cash back on dining, entertainment, and at grocery stores. That's unlimited cash back on ordering takeout from home or unlimited cash back on tickets to concerts and games. So grab a bite, grab a seat, and earn unlimited 3% cash back with the Saver Card. Capital One, what's in your wallet? Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.